bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again. We ask, O God, that our hearts and our minds be open and receptive to your holy word. And Lord, that your spirit moves in such a way that we know exactly what you're saying to us, giving us your peace and giving us your instructions for living. In Jesus' name, amen. The text for today is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34, standing at God's reading. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves with money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. There is a lot that can be said in this portion of Scripture, and there is a lot that can be talked about. We see Jesus talking to his disciples again, and he's taking them maybe aside, and he's saying, "I want you to understand. Yeah, I know you don't have much faith, and your faith is small, but I want you to understand that I am the one sent from God into this earth to live here and to take and be crucified and to pay the penalty for your sin." This is the first thing he wants to stress to his disciples. In this portion of Scripture, he's telling them, don't worry about the things of life, because God knows you have need of them. God knows that you need a certain amount of food, that you need a certain amount of clothing or things like that. You know, in the United States, we may be blessed beyond measure many times over when we look at different parts of the world. God wants us to be good stewards in all that he gives us. Yet he tells us not to let this world or the things of the world take over our thoughts, that we think more of them than we do of him. And so we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will add all these things that's needed unto us. And some of us may have more, some of us may have less, depending on how we look at things in life. we see that God tells us, do not worry about what you're going to eat or drink. And he talks about the ravens. If you look at the ravens, they are a bird which is a scavenger. And as you drive down the highway and you can see the crows or the ravens going about eating the dead animals that had what we would call roadkill. And they are many times so engrossed in what they're eating that when you drive by, they hardly look up at you, or if they do, they might flutter away a little bit, and they come back to what God has provided for them for their meal for that day. And we see they don't worry about yesterday, and they don't worry about tomorrow, because they don't have storehouses to store things up in, and they don't worry then about what they will eat tomorrow. They will find something there. And we find very few of them that die of starvation. It seems God feeds them. Then he talks about the lilies of the valley and the lilies that grow. And he says, even Solomon in his radiance of his dress and all the wonderful things he had and all the riches he had, he was not arrayed as one of the flowers of the field. And we look at some of them and we say, I wonder how this could be. God dresses the lilies and the flowers that grow wild. And we can look maybe in Minnesota. The Minnesota flower is the moccasin, and it's a very beautiful flower. So we look at these and we say, God made all these things, yet they don't worry about spinning or toiling or what's going to happen. They know they're there for a short period of time, and then they go and they show God's beauty in the time that they're around. So we are to put our trust in Jesus Christ. We are to make sure Christ is first in all that we say or do. And we can find many times in our own lives that we want to take and have it our own way, and we push Christ aside. And we find that we are doing it my way or no way, or my way is what counts and God is to bless me because I want to do it a certain way. God says, trust in me, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things can be added onto you that you need. He doesn't say he's going to give us a lot of riches that we should worry about our retirements or about the things coming, because we know that it's coming in the world where there will be one world ruler. And we know that when this one world ruler comes, there will also probably come one world or global finance system. And in that system, the way it has been portrayed to this point is that if you had so many dollars in the bank or so much finances, it would only be worth maybe half of that on the world system to make everybody equal. And they think this is what's going to bring in utopia. Yet Satan is doing everything he can to deceive us, even as Christians. And Christ says, you know, those that will stay with me to the end will be saved. And we are, as we seek the kingdom of God, we would ask God, Lord, what would you have me to do today to glorify your holy name? That you are glorified in me and people will see you and glorify you, not me. That what I do is to glorify you, Heavenly Father, and that it is to glorify you through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for each one of our sins. And then we see that Jesus continues on, and he says, do not worry about what you eat or what you should drink, and do not have an anxious mind. You know, if we were to look back even in the last couple months, and we would see, many of us would take and say, what was I going to give my loved ones for Christmas, or what do I want to do in the new year? And we worry about our business, we worry about heating our homes, we worry about all these other things. And Christ says, trust me, And that does not mean that we just sit there and do nothing. He wants us to be good stewards of what he has given us. And does that mean then that as children, they obey their parents? Yes, they should. As parents, do we aggravate our children to anger? We shouldn't be doing that. Do we take and aggravate one another? Many times we do that too. And yet, do we sit down then with our loved ones, whether children or spouses or friends, and say, let's see what God has to say to us for this time in our lives, that we can present the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make people realize that Christ will, through the Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us in all truth, that he will lead us and guide us in what we need for each daily, for our daily lives, and that we don't need a lot of these other things that we think are so important, because God has told us, as we read in the Old Testament lesson, the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God. There is no other God before me, and there's none that has ever been before me or ever will be. And God, when he took and gave Job over to Satan to test him, we find that the first thing that happened was Job lost all his goods, his physical goods, plus his family. His children were all killed. And when he come and his wife says, why don't you curse God and curse the day you were born? And he says, lady, I want you to know, God gives and God takes away. And yet he says, I will not curse God because he has blessed me. If he wants to give me riches and he wants to take them away, blessed be the name of the Lord thy God, because he has the right to do this. These are all his, and we are only stewards in them in that sense. Therefore, we are not to be anxious or to worry about these things. Are things going wrong many times in our with our loved ones or in our families? And we find that if we take it to Christ and say, Lord, give me a peaceful heart and help me to live and to help those in your name, but not to do it in my name. But Lord, it is you and you alone that we must trust in, and God will help us there too. He will take away that anxious heart and or the worrying heart, and we will see that we don't have to do it. And getting back to about a month ago when Christmas was coming, and many of us were probably worrying or thinking about what should we get, and we got very anxious about will so-and-so like this gift or so-and-so like that gift, or what should I do or how should I do it, because I want to please them and I want to make sure that at Christmas time of all times that we're giving a gift that we feel is good and one that'll make them happy and joyous. We see many charities that'll come out and they will want us to send them financial goods or things to help them. And we see that many of them are maybe, I don't want to say scams, but close to it. And much of their goods that they get is spent on everything except the program that they claim to be sponsoring. And yet we worry about these things and we think about all of the things of winter and of our jobs and things like this. How can it be better? Why is it that I am being punished, or why do I have to work extra hard, or why do I have to do this and someone else doesn't have to? And we find this, and even in my own life, when I was working with the airlines many times, I would think, how come we have to do so and so when somebody else could be doing it? We thought we were overworked. And I don't know if we were overworked, and I don't know if we were overpaid, if you're going to call it that way. But many times when you look at the work you're doing today, and you look back at how you were doing it, and you worried about tomorrow. And I use the example, I guess, of when we moved from Thief River to Fargo to finish my airline career out, we had taken family vacations every year, which is good. We had taken, and what we had, we always made sure we had a wonderful family vacation every year together for 1 or 2 weeks, and maybe 1 or 2 different times. And when we moved to Fargo, we had almost nothing. But I'll tell you what, we found you could make a meal every day with hamburger. And, you know, as funny as it sounds, hamburger at that time, I think, was about $1 a pound. And we had many different meals, but that's all we could afford. And we says, Lord, if this is all we can afford, help us to use it to glorify you. And we did that. Did we have our ups and downs? Yes. But we kept on having Christ first in our lives. We made sure we thanked him every day for our home, for our health, for our children, for one another. And we had our devotions every day. And yes, there was times when we wondered if we would ever make it. And yet God watched over us and protected us. And we found things that we had done maybe 2 years before that came into play, where God blessed us later on in life with things we needed when we were to the point of being down and out, and we only could trust in Christ Jesus our Lord to sustain us for the next day or the next week, or until we were living, as they would say, from payday to payday. And yet God blessed us and watched over us and protected us, and we thanked him for that. So we know that the Lord is God. There is no other God. And was it trying? Yes, we had many trying times, and yet we turned to Jesus and says, Lord, help us, and not to take the blessings on ourselves, but to thank you for all that you have done for us, because your kingdom is the most important to make sure our family and ourselves are stayed in you, that you are our Lord and our Savior, that you are the one that came and died on Calvary's cross for our sin, and help us not to be anxious and not to worry. And God has says, you know, believe on me and trust in me, and I will give you the peace which passes all understanding, which passes not as the world gives, but I can give you that inner peace, and I can give you that inner knowledge that you have eternal life because you are walking with me every step of the way. And we can see even in our Old Testament lesson where it tells us that even the young will fail, but if we trust in the Lord, we will have wings like eagles, and we will run and not be weary, and we will walk and not faint. And this is a Bible verse which the Bible school memorizes very much down in the AFLBS. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture in which we can trust in God and know that he is Lord and Savior of our lives. And as we look into our own lives and we see things maybe not always going the way we would like them to go, we find that God is still in control, and Satan is doing everything he can, and he will do everything he can for the Christian as well as non-Christian to take and get his mind off of Christ and to get his mind on the things of the world. And we will see that as we have had Jesus told us in Matthew, you know, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. Come, bring your load and put it at my feet and I will take care of it, he's telling you and telling me. And this is what we have to do every day, so we don't start worrying about tomorrow. And how many of you, when you look back at the Christmas gifts you give, and I'm keeping going back here, but how many of that worrying days that you had makes any difference today? It doesn't, does it? That's past. tomorrow isn't here. We are in today. And how are you living today for Jesus Christ? Do you have him then as your personal Lord and your personal Savior? Are you walking with him and taking heed to ourselves that we walk with him first and foremost? And it tells us in Luke chapter 21, it tells us, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down by carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Don't let the cares of this life come upon you and weigh you down so much that you put Christ on the back burner or that you put Christ second in your life. You have to have Jesus first and first all the time. And yes, the cares of this life many times will come upon us, but we are to ask God to help us through those periods, and he will as we trust in him. And he tells us that we have very little faith, but he will help us if we trust in him, even with the little bit of faith that we have. We see the parable, you know, of the four or five soils when Jesus gave that parable of the soils, of how the grain fell on each one. And we can see how it falls on us and on what kind of soil are we. Are we the kind where the birds come and takes the word away right away so it doesn't even penetrate us? Or are we the kind where it falls upon the rocky soil where it comes up and then it chokes because of the thistles and because it doesn't have any depth and of the heat of the day? Or is it where the weeds will choke it out or the cares of this world will choke it out and we will leave Christ and he will become second or third in our lives? Excuse me for having to take a drink, but my throat is dry. And then, or are we the kind where that falls on good soil and people sees Christ in us? And then by seeing Christ in us, he can be glorified, not us, but him. All glory belongs to Jesus Christ. And it tells us that we are to be watchful because Christ will come at an unexpected time. He gives us the signs and the warnings of things in this world in which we can see that he's coming and he's coming again, that he died for our sins. He rose again the third day and he is making intercession today for us in heaven. We can be thankful that as Christians and as having Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we would be invited to the marriage feast of Christ and the Lamb, of Christ and the church. Even though we have blemishes, God will wipe them all away. And he says, if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven and they will be remembered no more. And then it tells us in Revelation, he says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. We have said it before, and we'll keep on saying it, that each man and each woman is rewarded according to the works that they have done in their life. And if they have Jesus Christ in their as their personal Lord and Savior, and he's number one, you will be saved and you will hear Jesus say, enter thou into my rest, you faithful servant. And if you have rejected Christ and you have lived for yourself and for the world, you will hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. And we see the ones that will be in heaven then are those who have Christ, who have taken and given their lives over to him. And they have lived for him day by day. And they are saying, Lord, you are first in all things. Then we see even in the new heaven and the new earth that there is blessings beyond measure. And in the middle of that, when John was writing Revelation, he stops in the middle of explaining the new heaven and the new earth, and he puts it this way, that he says, those will not be in heaven are like this: the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, and the practice, those that practice magic arts, witchcraft, and what have you. The idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning with sulfur. This is the second death. Or they would be in hell forever and forever, where there is no rest. There is only torment. And then we go, we can hear about the Lazarus and the rich man and many other things where God talked to, Jesus talked to us in his parables, telling us how wonderful heaven is. And he has given us warning of how if we don't accept what he did on the cross of Calvary, we would have eternal damnation. We can have that eternal life. That's by having Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we can go tell it on the mountain as we sang. And we should be willing to tell it to all those around us that's willing to hear and willing to listen. And we can pray continually. We maybe sometimes don't have the means in which to express ourselves verbally to others. And yet we know that if God is leading and living in our life, that the Holy Spirit is there, that he will give us the words to say and the manner in which to say them. And he will tell us when to speak. And we can do that, and the glory of God can be seen in our lives, and that we would see then that he is the Lord of our lives, and we will be able to talk to those, even those that we may feel uncomfortable around. But we would be living for Christ day by day, and we would have Christ in our lives at all times. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us, watch over us and keep us. Help us, O God, that as we proclaim you, that we will not worry about our own lives, but that we would have you first in all things that we say or do. Lord, that as we go throughout this life, we know you are making intercession for us in heaven before God the Father Almighty. And as we would say with Job, even though my flesh turns to dust in the grave, I know I will see my Savior face to face when he calls me back from the grave. Lord, I pray that you would be with each one of us now. Help us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.